It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As talented as he was able to ride it longer than most people. Most people have been dead halfway through it, but the German chocolate, he's a little slippery. So when Eli went from 50s to 51s to those 53s, Jet just kept running 51s, which made now it went from like a half second to like a second and a half and 2 seconds. And that's the gap that when he caught him and he went around him, that's what makes people look at him and be like, oh man, he was just like way better than everybody else. The fact is, Jet knew what he had to do. He still has that limit on that motorcycle. And for whatever reason, this weekend was pretty apparent where you can, if you were looking, you can see when he would try to attack, like he would override it. Almost like the bike is too soft.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to you,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
He'll win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind Show, baby, from round 14, Nashville, Tennessee. Well, we saw some action. We had the double red plates. We had Jet Lawrence come out and solidify. Or will Cooper Webb come back and show him that he's been getting caught in the web? Or will Eli Tomac do whatever he had? Oh, and by the way, we had the East-West shootout. We had Kitchen versus Smackadoo. But round 14, these guys had to show up because it was on. We had tie points, like I said, and these guys needed to let them know what was going to happen. With 4 races left, no more room for error. Jet Lawrence, keep it on the track. Cooper Webb, do what he does. So we know what we got to do, people. So let's get into it. Round 14 from Nashville. Yeehaw! He wasn't there, but it was still on like a cowboy. Let's get it. So the track in Nashville, it was a weird one because it rained prior up to it. So you had a little bit, like there was a lot more moisture in the track, but it also was really slippery. Kind of reminded me of Phoenix, you know, where you had some traction and then you had small ruts. They were ruts, but they had some of the smaller ruts, but they were really hard and slippery. So it gave those guys a difficult time because you go into some parts, it'd be sticky, like some of those rhythm sections, like it'd be soft in the middle, but those ruts wouldn't give and you could see guys getting caught out. Nonetheless, Nashville has been known to take people out. Like over the last few years, we had the Austin Faulkner, we had Cooper Webb, we saw what happened last year with a lot of these guys. So for whatever reason, I've never raced at Nashville, but that track in general, whether it's like this weekend or like last year during the day, it seems to catch dudes out. And you could tell everybody was riding on eggshells, like literally they were riding out there. So Nashville, for whatever reason, it brings it out. And those guys were definitely nervous, but we had a couple people get caught out, but not too bad. Everybody was pretty safe considering.
Gotta give it. When you're not on, you're not on. And tonight I definitely struggled. So I'll take it. To get on the podium's great. Those boys are riding awesome. And last year I ended my season here. So you got a little bit of that in the back of your mind. So it's good to get out of here healthy.
So Cooper Webb, he's been on a roll. Like he's been on a roll. Even for him, I know he's probably got a lot of confidence because when you have seasons and you end up a champion, you have races where you know you shouldn't have won and you end up winning. There's some kind of luck involved into it. Not like, you know, you're lucky to get here because he's not, because he's been out there doing his thing. But like the race he had in Seattle, where he was feeling tired. You know, he had the hardwood and everything was going on. His arms were pumped up, but he was still able to win that race. And then the Triple Crown, you know, didn't have the greatest performance. Jet Lawrence is there, and then Jet Lawrence gets hit. So nonetheless, like, you just know he felt like things were rolling his way. And then last weekend, he had a dominant performance. So coming into Nashville, it would just continue on. Like, he just felt good. That being said, in the back of his mind, he knew what happened last year, or he saw the tape for what happened last year, because I don't know if he remembers anything after he got hit. But he came in and he was in practice and he was still feeling froggy. I felt like that track was somewhat like last weekend's track. And you could tell him and Eli and even Justin Cooper, like, they felt pretty comfortable, but there was something just missing, like, with Cooper. You could tell he's real timid. Like, he didn't have a lot of, like, fight in him. And I think that was a lot caused because of what happened last year. And the way Cooper's gotten here this year, like I said, up until last weekend, it's been a different situation. Like, Jet's been making mistakes, and then Cooper's been there to capitalize, and then Cooper's been putting himself in positions. So when Jet makes mistakes or he tries to force him, he's there. But he hasn't been in a position where him and Jet just line up and he just beats him, or he lines up and he just outruns Jet, you know, whether he finishes ahead of him at the end of the race, but they don't crash nothing and Cooper beats him. So I think of what you saw this weekend was the guy still confident, and confident enough that he knows if he gets through this weekend that we got three races left, he's 5 points down. He feels pretty good that possibly show up like he did last weekend, where he gets that inner confidence and just show up and just be fast, but he has to get through this weekend. But my point is like, with Cooper, I think he was a little lackadaisy or just riding timid because, as I was saying, he hasn't beat Jet just straight up to where nothing's happened, where he just ends up passing Jet at the end of the race. You know, there's been circumstances, Jet goes down, Jet gets a bad start, you know, other things that's happened. So he hasn't really beat him straight up. So with Cooper coming at this race, having those inner demons of what happened last year, and Jet being pretty good, pretty fast, I think what you saw was him just say, I'll fight next weekend, you know, because he knows he's got to be on his game and he has to do something that he hasn't done so far this year, which would be just, they both line up, they're both 100%, nothing happens, and he goes out and beats that guy. Well, if you haven't done that, even with all the confidence what Cooper has, if you haven't done that, then you come to a track that maybe the other guy's feeling better on it, more comfortable. You're not comfortable because you were knocked out from last year, and you just, you know, you're not going to put your best foot forward because of all that. So I think what Cooper did was smart. He just salvaged. He ended up on the podium. He would like to be able to beat Eli, but Eli was feeling froggy, and Jet was, you know, went around and he won the race. So Cooper was really just kind of what he always is, just there. And in Cooper standards, that was a real quiet race. And if I'm Cooper Webb, I would look at this race as that's the worst I'm gonna finish. Like, the way he rode, you could tell he wasn't like charging. Even in the heat race, Jet, you know, Jet was there. He got around him. He tried for a little bit, but that was it. In the main event, I don't think he tried at all. You know, like, well, hold up. He was trying, but he didn't like try really hard. Like, Jet was just kind of right there. He just rode away from him. And so if I'm Cooper Webb, third place is the worst I'm gonna get, because that riding that way is gonna get me third place. Even if Eli's doing what he's doing, if Ken Roczen's blowing shocks out and flinging and flying, and Chase Sexton's looping out, third place is where I'm going to end up. And, you know, considering what happened last year, considering how good Jet was all day long, Jet needed to win even more than I did. I feel like third place was a good. So Cooper Webb had a quiet night, but I expect here in Philly, it won't. Because if he does that again, I would say the championship be over. You know, Jet would have to make a real bonehead mistake, and I don't think Jet would do that. So I think Cooper Webb would show up like he did last weekend, and this weekend was somewhat of his mulligan. With Cooper, when you think about, because some people look at what happened this weekend as like, you know what, the confidence, and even what I was saying is like, you haven't beat that guy all year just straight up. There's other things that's happening. So you would look at, maybe he's not confident, you know, where he just ended up third. I think the fact is he is confident, and he does got a lot of confidence that he knows he can go in these last three races. And probably in his mind do what he did last weekend. Like, he feels like he can go up there and show up and just beat Jet, you know, just from a standpoint, because he's been here and done that. And the reason I say that is because you can tell the way he rode, like, third place was really the worst he was going to get. To me, for him, being able to just sit back and realize that I don't have it, I'm just going to get on the box, I'm not going to lose too many points, shows me that he's confident enough to go in these next three races and have to make up those points and be able to feel confident enough to be able to do it. Because most guys, they would override it. Like, if you got all this momentum, everything's going in your direction, it would be easier for Cooper to override that racetrack and still try to be spectacular and continue that momentum and win another race. Because if Cooper had won this weekend, it would have done a lot for the championship. Like, it would have put Jet in a bad spot. Yeah, even if Jet would have got second, he would still be right there. But what it would have done and said, it would have just put him in a mental spot where he would have had to really attack these next three races. So Cooper, basically, because he's confident and he's Cooper Webb, he didn't bite that, you know, he didn't go for that apple. Like, he was like, nah, I'm going to do what I need to do, because I think if I try to push this thing, I might end up hurt. I'm not feeling comfortable. So to me, it's because he's been there, done that. It's Cooper Webb and his whole career, how he's got things done, it's in a different way. So to me, what Cooper did this weekend shows me more belief in what he believes and confidence wise, that he's able to, you know, better sit back and put that pressure back and just realize, I'm going to end up doing as best as I can tonight. And if third is it, then I'm okay with that. And, you know, that to me shows a confidence rider instead of going the other way. Two of the other guys that was coming into these races, Chase Sexton and Ken Roczen. And with Chase Sexton, it's weird to look at him that he was only, what, 16 points back. Like, he was pretty close to those guys. It actually in a better situation than he was last year when he won a championship. But the way he's gotten here, it was even different than last year. So when you look at Chase and considering he was that close in the points, like, he's right there. If those guys make any kind of mistake, if Cooper has a bad race or Jet has another bad race, Chase is, you know, a few points from taking over the points lead. But you don't look at him that way. Because even when they mentioned it on the broadcast, I was like, I guess he is like third. And the way people talk about him, they don't really talk about him like he still has a chance, even though he was that close. And the reason that is because you just know, like, he's like Cooper Webb in a sense, except for things not really rolling his way. Like, when, you know, Jet goes down or Cooper goes down, like, Chase is still not able to capitalize on that. And he's still lacking something that is the one thing that he's always had, and the speed. For instance, like, if you saw Chase this weekend, even before he ends up looping it out, you saw, like, when he tried pushing it a couple of times, like, he almost hit the ground. And, you know, like, he still has that limit on that motorcycle. And for whatever reason, this weekend was pretty apparent where you can, if you were looking, you can see when he would try to attack, like, he would override it, almost like the bike is too soft. That's the way it looks to me. Like, it flexes too much. It's too soft in the front, and it's really easy to bound up. That's how it looks to me. And I think Chase has obviously realized that, but he's also realized how close he is in a championship. And you can see him starting to feel better and want to go fast. But when he does that, he makes a mistake. And then this weekend, pretty much, you know, I wouldn't say pretty much, it was the end of his championship hopes. It went up and looking up at the sky, he ends up looping out and hits the ground. And that was it. But I think with him, I don't know how much he really felt like he was there anyway compared to where he was last year. And that's kind of how people looked at him. So he's been having a great year considering it's a new year, new team, a lot of changes. He was hurt at some point, but with one race win, and I don't even know how many fast lap times he's had in practice and being the fastest, ain't too many. It's been a hard year for Chase. But ultimately, I think if they get the motorcycle right, it's only going to make him a better rider at the end of the day to be able to deal through this. So Chase, even though he goes down and he's out of the championship, I don't think people, and I don't know how much he felt that he was really in it anyway. And then you had Ken Roczen. Ken Roczen's been riding good. He's been, what's nice about Ken, even though his results sometimes are, you know, he's up and down considering, like, he's fighting for the lead like he was at Triple Crown, like, possibly can win the race. And then he's, you know, maybe like a fifth place or third place. Ken's been really solid this year. Like, he's been like there, besides like maybe one or two races where just things happen, like Ken has been doing something that he hasn't done for the last few years. And one, he's been steady all year long. I think he's been riding the same all year long. Like there's really no up and down. And Ken's also been able to come up through the pack, which has been different. Like he'll get a bad start and he'll come up. And I think what you saw this weekend was another continuation of if he gets a good start, Ken can run. Like he can run with anybody. And unfortunately for him, he had a shock blowout and he was rodeoing up in Nashville and hanging on. Ken, I actually laughed. Like I laughed, not at you, but I was laughing because I'm like, damn, like I know what that feels like. I'm glad you all right. Of course, I wasn't laughing at you getting hurt, but it was just funny to see that thing smoke and then you holding on to that thing. But luckily, it sounds like everything's all right. But I got to give a shout out to Ken because considering where he was a couple years ago and everybody talks about going to Suzuki and all the team stuff. And before people could say it, shut up. The Suzuki ain't the problem. The Suzuki wasn't a problem why that thing blew out. That wasn't even a Suzuki part on that motorcycle. So I don't think it had anything to do with a Suzuki or what's happening. I'm pumped for Ken to be able to see him, you know, being as strong as he is. And hopefully he can continue that and he's not too hurt. But Ken's been solid all year, even though he was rodeoing. Ken's been solid.
He's saving.
Oh, Roczen's bike.
His shock is gone.
Yeah, his shock. He got launched.
Oh, that was a shock, I believe.
And the thing with Ken, you know, when he lands off that triple, him and Eli, they start pulling out that triple in the main event. Like, I don't know if they jumped it during the practice one lap, but they hit that double and went outside. And I think Eli was the first one to hit it. And it was cool to watch him because he's, considering where Daytona was, starting to see Eli starting to find his form. But, you know, Ken in second, he's like, forget it. I'm going to hit it too. And he kept hitting it. And a few laps left, a few laps later, you know, he hits it and you get a big old puff of white smoke. Now, I would say it's because he was hitting that and it was a hard landing that it probably caused the bike to like the shock to go out. But if you remember a couple races ago, he did the same thing. The thing started like smoking and it wasn't to this level as bad as this, but the shock did the same thing and he actually had oil leaking out or something went loose on his motorcycle. It was a big old puff of smoke and he was trying to hang on. He was actually going through a rhythm section and he almost crashed because he didn't have any grip. So I've seen this happen before. I've seen shocks blow out before. I actually had mine blow out when I blew my knee out in 2007 at Washougal. My shock blew out. But nonetheless, he lands off that jump. The thing blows out. Now, the thing is, he won't notice that until he gets bucked off, to be honest with you. Like he gets into the whoops and one, he can't see the smoke. And even if he does see the smoke, like he's so focused in on making sure he hits those whoops and he was blitzing them that anything that was around him, like he's locked in. So even if he got ran through a cloud of smoke, he wasn't going to pay attention to it anyway because he had to be focusing on a whoop. So I think what happened, the thing blows up. There's a smoke. Part of it is behind him. So even if I don't think he saw it anyway, but even if he could, like I said, he was focused in, he gets in the whoops. Now, the way those whoops were, they were hard anyway. So the reason I say Ken wouldn't have noticed the difference until he got bucked off, he would have went in there and he would have known that, man, this thing feels weird. Like I would have got hit in the butt a couple times. Like it seems like I'm springing around. But if he didn't see that smoke, there was at no point would he think that his shock's broken. Now, when the thing starts gripping and the oil is getting there and he can't grip, that's the first sign of like, all right, something's not right. But by that time, once he feels that, then he gets bucked off and he gets down. And of course, when he's laying down, he probably looks up and sees it smoking. But there was really nothing he can do. He was already committed. You know, once he hit that mechanics there, once he hit that double, whatever was going to happen, if the bike would have blew up, shock blown off, if he'd have lost the toe, he was going to be committed going into those whoops. So there was nothing he can do. And again, I believe, obviously, it's the hard landing that probably causes that issue. But I've seen that happen with his bike before. So I don't think it was directly that. I just think whatever reason is, something comes loose. And it was a lot easier to come loose off a jump like that. But yeah, Ken, as talented he is, he was able to ride it longer than most people. Most people have been dead halfway through it, but the German chocolate, he was slippery. He was able to hang on as long as he could.
Tomac
Tomac is going to sweep around the outside and cover him. Eli Tomac the whole shot. And Webb right there in second looking to make a move. Oh, he ran hard up the inside. Could not get it done.
Oh,
he's doing everything to get Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence almost goes down. He buries the front.
And this crowd is ecstatic with Tomac out front.
Eli Tomac.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
We saw Beast Mode come out for a little bit, and Eli was fast. I mean, he was actually the fastest. He was really fast. And the funny part is, when you listen to people, you would think that, you know, Jet was clearly better than everybody else, which he was. I mean, he was clearly better than everybody else, but he did it in a different way. But Eli came out jumping things, and it almost seems like after Daytona, he was like, look here, little Johnny, I'm just, daddy might not come home, but I'm going out there and I'm hitting it because I can't ride. I can't race like that. The way he wasn't jumping that quad in Daytona, it was like the opposite of that. And the funny thing is, Eli, I don't think his whole career has been like that kind of guy, like jumper. Like he might find some lines that he's railing on the outside, feet on the pegs, but just start jumping stuff tells me that he's obviously feeling better. He's starting to feel good. One, he's confident enough, like he's healthy. You know, his ankle and his Achilles, like he's not worried about that because otherwise he wouldn't be jumping that jump. And it looked like he was having fun because he was, you know, when Eli's having fun, like, you know, he turns down and does his stuff. But this race was different. Like, he looked like he was out at his practice track. Like, he was okay, like, making mistakes. Like, he was slamming the wall and make a mistake and looked like he would just be laughing under his helmet, like, having a good time. And to me, what happened to him, like, he was out there. He was having fun. The crowd was going wild. And he got, like, a little gap. He see Ken smoking everywhere. And then he saw Jet. Jet was still kind of there. And, you know, when you're running that pace, like, I don't think it was anything where Eli got tired or he couldn't, you know, he was out of shape. I think Eli realized that, look, even though I'm having fun, this track technical. And even though, like, I'm willing to jump this jump, like, I ain't really willing to go out here and try to outlast this dude. If this dude's coming up, like, he's just going to get me. You know, he's going to get me. I'll try to put up a fight, but I had these two lappers. I went outside. But to me, Eli won ever since he had that second race at, you know, St. Louis. Like ever since then, he's been a different person and people can look at the results. He hasn't won, but what I see in Eli, I see a guy that almost is like, if I would have been able to have a full off season and, you know, to be able to do my normal prep, I'm still Eli Tomac and I'm still fast enough that at times when I find my form, I can outrun these guys because when he's out front, it was earlier part of lap. So when he's coming up to the pack, to me, it's like he's testing that speed and he realizes he still has it. He just knows that he's not in a position in the championship to risk it for the whole time. And I think that's where the difference is now compared to Daytona. Daytona, I don't think Eli believed that he was still Eli Tomac. Even when he won that race in Anaheim and at Triple Crown, I don't think he felt like he was still that guy. And I talked about it at Dallas when he came up. Well, after St. Louis and him winning that and then being able to catch Jet, if you look at his riding style, even if his results are the same, even if they were the same previous to Daytona, you see the difference. Like he's more aggressive. And it looks like when he races, the circumstances around him kind of dictates what it is instead of him not being able to believe that he's still as good as he is. So it almost feels like maybe we're in store for another year, because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like he's building to finally like, all right, I'm gonna get through this Supercross season, make sure I don't get hurt. I realize I got the speed. They're talking about this guy and his rookie that I'm washed up. This guy's greatest thing is to slice bread. And yet, like, I didn't have a full off season. I came off an injury. This guy's won everything, but yet I can still like get him when I'm feeling good. And in that race, I think what Eli did, he was out front having fun. He realized like, all right, to keep Jet behind me, like probably gonna have to take some more risks than I want to. And I'm not really willing to do that only because I'm not in a championship hunt. So I'll ride as fast as I can. If he gets me, he gets me. But I know I'm faster than him and I know I can keep it. And halfway through that race, Jet kept coming up and he caught Eli. He went around Eli and then Eli was like, all right, cool. I end up second place. The reason I say that is because you listen to him on the podium. Besides him saying he didn't win the race, it looked like he won the race. Like he was just like, cool, I'm happy. Like, yeah, he wasn't popping champagne, but he also wasn't like bum. He was happy and it looked like he was having fun.
Had so much fun being up front for those few laps there. I'll try to get better and better, you know, get better in the second half of the race. And so overall, great night for us. Thank you so much, Nashville.
And the only reason you can have fun is if you know, especially in a guy like Eli Tomac, the only reason you can smile and have fun is when you know that these boys are in trouble, because I'm starting to find it. And I think Eli's finding it. So I would be optimistic of like the results. Might not be where people think he should have been when he's beast mode. But from what I see, that dude's going to be trouble. If he stays around, I see a guy that's like having fun racing and he still realizes he's good enough. And I hope he sticks around, because I think the best of Eli still might be like still ready to come. So it was good to see the toe smack, smacking everybody, jumping everything. He just needs a little bit more time, people. Jet Lawrence, it's a big weekend for you. It's a big weekend. I said on the inside line that he had to win. Like 6 months of sudden death, you had to stop bleeding. You didn't want to get caught in that web. And I ain't talking about Charlotte's. I'm talking about Cooper's. So I knew Jet was coming in like he did at Daytona. Like I knew for me watching him and knowing how important this race was, I didn't think he was going to make any type of mistakes. Like I didn't think he was going to end up throwing the race away. You know, yeah, he almost crashed in that rhythm section. That's just racing.
Oh, look at Jet Lawrence now doing the same. Oh, whoa.
But the way he was going to ride without risk, but he was going to be trying to put it down. And that's how he rode. Like there was so much going on in this race, but it was a real boring race. Like besides Eli jumping around and Ken smoking, there really wasn't too much action going on. And Jet Lawrence was the reason of that. Like he was real just calculated. Now, when you watch Jet, it looks like it was a real easy race for him. Like it looked like he was just kind of moping around, like going 80, 90%, and he could pick up the pace whenever he wanted to. But what I saw with Jet, I think it was all dictated on what Cooper Webb didn't do. Like the fact is, Cooper Webb didn't come up and challenge Jet, because Cooper Webb was in, like I said, his mindset. And he saw Eli going fast, but then it got to a point in that race, you know, early part of that race where it stabilized. Like it was like got out to 3 seconds and it just kind of stayed there. So if I'm Jet Lawrence, I'm in the mind position that, all right, Cooper Webb, I could tell he ain't fighting me, because he would have done that in the beginning part of the race. Fact is, like he didn't get around me, or he's still not, like he's not closing in. I got him. Eli, he got out front, but I could tell with him, it stabilized and he won't be able to run that pace just because he's out front. He's hitting all those jumps. And the crazy part is, just talking about Eli, when you start hitting all these jumps, like for instance, if I came out and I hit these quads and those quads was like, all right, cool. Boom, big jumps. And I'm in the front and I'm doing everything, but I only have like a 3 second lead. Right there says in my mind, damn, I just hit all this stuff. And like this race is going to be a lot harder. Like I won't be able to continue to jump in this. And I've pulled out everything and I still can't get away from them. So I'm just going to get tired just because of that. Like, fact is, my mind's going to change, because I was hoping to be able to hit this stuff. No one else is going to do it. I got German Chocolate. He hitting it behind me and pull a gap and then manage it. Well, I did all that and he's still there. So on the flip side, Jet Lawrence sees that. Jet Lawrence hears all that crowd. Like, he sees those guys jumping at, and he sees the crowd going wild, but they're stabilizing. So I think what ended up happening to Jet was that he just started riding at a pace, and he started probably riding as far as being able to condition and physically. I bet he was probably riding at 75%. Not at like 75% speed wise, meaning like he can go 20% faster. No, I don't think he could. I actually don't think he really go too much faster. And I think if Cooper Webb would have put pressure on him, then I think that would have changed the way we probably looked at how that race would have been. You'd probably be like, oh man, that was a closer race than what it looked. But since Cooper didn't do that, I think it allowed Jet to relax. And I think he realized that probably Eli wasn't going to be able to run that pace. And even if he was, I'm saving energy. So Eli's going to have to run these 50s and 51s this whole race, because how I'm doing it, I'm able to save energy. I'm not losing time. My competition that I need to beat, he's falling back. So that allows me to relax. And Jet was just in a better position because of everything else around him. So Jet was able to save a lot more energy, even running the same lap times or even slower, faster, whatever, than anyone else around him. And I think what we saw was him understanding that the first person to beat is Cooper Webb. I will not throw this thing away. Even if it's 2 points, I will not throw this thing away. But he got in his rhythm, and that rhythm, jumping through the whoops, that whole thing, Eli's not getting away. And it was probably easy for him because obviously he was saving energy. He was able to just catch up to Eli, and then he made that pass and he kept going. So it wasn't like Jet was way faster than everybody else. Actually, he wasn't faster than lap time. It wasn't like Jet started going way faster in the middle part of the race. No, he didn't. Jet just was able to ride that same pace that whole time. So when Eli went from 50s to 51s to those 53s, Jet just kept running 51s, which made now it went from like a half second to like a second and a half and 2 seconds. And that's the gap that when he caught him and he went around him, that's what makes people look at him and be like, oh man, he was just like way better than everybody else. The fact is, Jet knew what he had to do. And his first goal was to beat Cooper Webb. Second goal was to win that race. And he was able to do it. And he was able to do it somewhat safe. And he was running those guys down. So I knew coming in this weekend that Jet was probably going to win that race, considering that Cooper Webb had the race that he had last year here. And no matter what everybody else does, Cooper Webb and Jet Lawrence, they're going to rise above everyone else, even including Eli Tomac. Eli might be faster. Chase might be faster. Ken Roczen might be faster. But when you got two guys battling for the championship, that pace that they run it all race long, because they're in a title shot. And I think, as I said, with Eli, he's not in a championship. So for him to say, all right, I'm going to run the 51s and take that chance to ride with Jet this whole race, he ain't really willing to do that. Why? Because he's not in a championship. You don't want to take that risk. Jet Lawrence and Cooper Webb, they will. Cooper didn't do it this weekend, obviously, because he knew he wasn't fast enough and it was going to be hard enough and he didn't want to hit the ground. But you best believe that they will be doing it the next 3 weekends. And I think those two are going to be the only guys that run that the whole race because of where they at in the championship. Again, you might have Ken Roczen, Eli Tomac. They might be faster and they might do what they did in the first part of the race. They might even win a race, but it's going to be a different circumstances by them the way they do it compared to those other two guys. And so for Jet Lawrence, you just know what he had to do. And he had to do it because, I mean, look, he was stalling it. I mean, we started questioning him. I mean, he was getting beat by his own brother. I mean, hey, just saying, facts. We saw what happened in St. Louis. We was like, the Lawrence. Lawrence got third. Like, oh, Jet, no, Hunter. So he had to come back. And the way Cooper Webb was, I mean, he was jacking off and, you know, Woody. He was just feeling way too confident. And so you saw his face and you saw the way that kid was on the podium. Like, he wasn't like happy. Like, he was happy, but he was like, what does that remind you of? Don't that remind you a little bit of Daytona? That business, like when he beat Eli in that heat race, that you saw the way he was in that race. He was like, yeah, I mean, it was a good race. Yeah. Like, I mean, he should have been like, yeah, all y'all people talking about, this is Eli Tomac. I just smacked him in his own house in his refrigerator. I did that. But he wasn't happy because he knew Daytona presented his own challenge. Well, he knew this weekend that it's business time and business night meets business decision. Just like I said on the inside line, he needed to have a negative to end up as a positive. And what he possibly got was what for him, Cole? Hit it for him.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
His neck was positively on fire. He got a neck burn and he needed one because he was starting to get a little light. He was starting to get a little light, like he haven't seen the sun in a long time. Well, he finally got it, and he got the biggest one so far, probably of his career, was this weekend, and he did it. So good job, kid. The jet fuel was on fire this week, and it was on fire in a different way. Business light means business decision. Sometimes you just got to get the business done, and that's what Jet did. It was business time. But that's why we go racing. Round 15 in Philly. Well, your boy's going to be there, by the way. Woo! Be back. It's been a long time. So you know he's got to show up because of that. So we might be going with the Philly Web Stake. Who knows? I don't know. But it's going to happen. It's going to have to happen this weekend up in Philly. So we'll see. But until then, right now, Jet Lawrence, he got a tan. He got a neck burn. And he needed it. All right, people. And we had the East-West Shootout. We had Levi Kitchen versus Hayden Deegan, even though they never raced against each other and never raced with each other. But it was East-West Shootout, and we only get a couple of these a year, so we always get excited. But this year was different. I mean, I felt like Eli, see, there I go again, just like I was in C-Li. See? C-Li. No. Kitchen. I felt like, what's his name? Levi and Eli. That's what it is. I felt like Levi was going to show up with a new pair of jeans and wax ass, really. And I actually felt like, hey, Deegan, I don't know what it is, but the boy looks different. I like the difference. I know they were talking about the broadcast, but I couldn't hear exactly what they were talking about. And I don't know if they were talking about him, but they were talking about something about the riding style. If something was different that maybe he shouldn't have done it or whatnot, but that boy looks different. So maybe they weren't even talking about him, but the boy looks different. And this weekend should tell you it was different, but the track is still a track. And no matter how good or how different somebody look, they don't get a start, they ain't gonna win. And with this track, Hayden Deegan, he didn't get a start. You saw how hard it was for him to pass that guy in the heat race. That should have told you how the track was anyway. But we were looking forward to Levi and Hayden getting into that because, yeah, Cameron McAdoo, you know, we had Tom Vial. I mean, RJ was probably the only other guy, him and Jordan Smith and Joe, if he can get off the gate. Those guys, those four guys, like they might actually kind of like compete, but I think the way Cameron's been riding, the way Tom's been riding, like they would get up front, and even if they won, they were going to win in a different type. Like it wasn't going to be no knockdown, drag out battle. They were just going to be consistent. You know, like I said, Cameron's like, ah, only in America, only in America. And Tom's like, hey, Ula, did I win? You people talking, I hit you upside the head with a burrito. No, that's not a burrito. He needed to hit him up with a croissant. Talking about, I can't go through the whoops. Can't go through the whoops. So they're just too quiet. They're too happy to be able to battle in these East-West shootouts. You're always looking for the other guys, like the RJ, waiting for the popcorn man to fall down. But nonetheless, we thought Kitchen was going to come in the way he was riding. And even the way he looked in practice, he was going to roll through these guys. And Hayden, if he got a start, he was going to be able to roll through these guys. And if I had to put them booked up, I would still pick Levi, the way he's on form, the way he's riding, to be able to win that race. But Levi hit the ground with Cameron McAdoo, and that race was over. Mitch, I know we were like, what? And the one thing when you get in the East-West shootout, and they talked about it. Ironically, they talked about it. Levi said, look, it's business like normal. Go out there, I'm going to try to win the race. Just, you know, you just don't want to end up in your teammate. Like, that's the one thing you just don't do. Same thing with Cameron. You know, he's like, hey, you know, make America great again. Whatever hell he's doing. He just wanted to be there. You just don't get in your teammate. Well, the first lap comes around, they both into each other. And Cameron ends up getting across, just racing incident. And it's always going to happen when you have rhythm sections like that off the start. You're always going to have people crashing. I don't know how to solve it, but they need to figure out a different way to solve it because, you know, you're lucky you don't see it more often. But particularly with that rhythm section, guys get cross-rutted, even if they're, you know, cross-jumping each other. So what happened with Cameron? Yeah, somebody's cutting him off. So he cuts off and then he ends up cutting Levi. Levi hits the ground and Levi jeans is dirty and he's laying there. And then Cameron goes and crashes in the next corner. But it's both teammates. Cameron was already hurt from practice. But both teammates, Mitch Payton, you're like, damn. Like, damn. Luckily for him, hopefully Levi's not too banged up. Cameron, on the other hand, you know, we're going to have to see with him. The dude's tough. So for him to pull off the racetrack tells me that that dude hurt. He pulled off, that dude hurt, because I've seen that dude hit the ground. And I know Nate Thrashen, he built right. Cameron just built mentally right. He might not be like the strongest, but that dude can survive some crashes he should be dead on. And so for him to pull off, like, you know, he hurt. So, but for Cam, like, he's 16 points back and he's hurt. He's playing it day by day. And I think with him, I don't know how much, like, he was in the points lead, but it was kind of a little bit like Chase. Like, he's there, but how he got here, it's been different. Like, it's not like he's been like Levi. Like, Levi was better than everybody else, clearly. And Cameron's been the best and most consistent, but, you know, some days, like, he'll, you know, Tom Vial was better. Like, he was faster, better. And yeah, Cameron, he won a race and he was able to win, but it's like he's been that consistent. And this podium interview is like, he's like happy for like being there, considering where he came from. Like, he's happy. So I think with all that and the way he got here, and it's going to be tough for him to come back, because you got Hayden Deegan is, yeah, he's coming back and he's still there. And I think he actually inherited second, or yeah, I think he's second, because you're 16 points back. So now you got to jump Hayden Deegan. And then you got Tom Vial, which has been that quiet, you know, kind of Viet Cong, kind of like, yeah, he's been, you haven't seen him, but he's been there the whole time. And then he looked good this weekend. So it's going to be hard for Cameron to overcome an injury. And like I said, the dude's built. So for him to pull off the racetrack, he hurt. So hopefully he can get back out and battle it in. But I think in the West Coast, you know, even though RJ has, you know, a 2-point lead, if Levi's healthy, just like Jet Lawrence in the 450 class, I think Levi can just be like, I'm better. I've been better. And I still rode pretty good, like, considering I was on the ground for a long time. Still feel like I didn't really get beat. I got knocked down. And then if I was up, I would have won the race. So for him, it's still right in front of him, only if he's healthy. And RJ's got that red plate. So let's see how he reacts after the last time he had it. But I think the 250 class, 250 West is still right there. I would still lean on Levi, because if he just goes and wins this race, championship is his. And it's, if it ended after this race, because whoever beats each other pretty much is going to have the points lead. And if they tie, Levi's going to have the points because of all the races. So it's in front of him. But this whole segment, I'm going to say this, it's kind of, I'm jumping all over the place. And the reason I'm jumping all over the place, because it just seemed like there was so much happening this weekend. You had all this hype about these two guys, and then you had the points leaders, both classes, get knocked out. Yeah, Cameron riding into a guy on this sight lap. He was hurt in practice that we didn't see into afterwards, and he was rolling around, and it was like chaos. So that's how this segment was. And then you had RJ doing what we expect RJ to be somehow in all this chaos, but RJ rode good. RJ was fast as hell in practice. RJ came out and dominated that main event. And I think his second, maybe third one this year, but probably his most important victory, probably his sweetest one he's had. Cause now RJ's in that driver's seat. Like, if RJ just beats Levi and makes Levi's jeans as dirty, RJ's going to be your champion. And a week ago, shit. 4 days ago, shit. 2 days ago, he wasn't in that spot. And now he's in the spot because of what did he got? Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
He's in the spot because he got a neck burn. That was the most important thing. They talked about it. RJ said, like, look, man, I need to focus this weekend. Not RJ. They all said this. They said, I need to focus this weekend because the most important thing is to get the neck burn. That's it. I ain't talking about winning the race. I don't want to win the race. I don't want to beat that guy. I don't want to beat that guy. I need the neck burn. I need the neck burn this weekend, because if I get the neck burned, then everything else will take care of itself. That's what they say. So when they talk about, look, go out there, and if I just ride like myself, everything will take care of itself. Well, if I ride and I get the neck burn, everything else is going to take care of itself. And RJ went out and got the neck burn, and everything else took care of itself. And that's why he's your red points leader. But that was it for the East-West shootout. Good thing for those guys, we get to see it again in about another week. So the last race is going to be East-West shootout. And again, just like this one, they always crazy. And it's going to be a lot going on. So hopefully it all go down to the last race in Salt Lake City, or your boy be at that one as well. But we'll find out soon enough. All right, people. I don't know where we're going next, but we're going somewhere. So we'll either be here answering your questions, or students, or we'll be back, or we won't. We'll find out, or you'll find out.
So Shane Bagley asks, it got down to the plywood before the triple prior to the whoops. What does it feel like when it's down that far as traction and rut?
What's up, Shane? Great question. Yeah, now the plywood, it really depends on where it's at. You know, I think what you're talking about this weekend really didn't have an effect on anything because those guys were going so slow. And if it did to where they needed to double out of that corner and they would hit the plywood really wouldn't cause them, like, they could just kind of roll over it and then get on the gas and just go up the face. Now, tripling that would have been difficult because you would have needed to be on the gas coming out of that. But usually when the plywood situation happens, like, it's right out of a tight corner like you saw this weekend. And the only time it becomes an issue is, like I said, when you have to be on the gas the whole time and the plywood is causing you to break loose, but you still need that. So once you get past it, you're going to have to, like, lean back. Usually in that situation, you would come out of the corner and almost get light and let off the gas and get over that because you can feel it with your rear tire. Because the thing, you'll have traction and then you'll feel it like spin up, which is when you let off the gas because you don't want to spin up and then hit the traction and then you have a problem. So those guys come out of the corner and they'll get off the gas, get over the plywood and then lean back and go. In that particular section, you saw Eli, he kind of changed his line to hit that triple. And that was to my point to where he couldn't do that triple if you'd have went over to plywood. So he probably hops out of that corner and that way he can hit that triple from that inside line. Ironically enough, I think when he was jumping that triple from the inside line, which he was the first person to do it, it was easier for him than going on the outside because going on the outside, he had to actually time the thing. So good question. It's just, you know, yeah, you can feel it, but usually where it's at, it doesn't really cause any issues. And if it does, usually dirt works, you know, goes in there and fixes it up. But usually it's just a weird feeling. It's like coming on the concrete and then having traction, not having traction. And that's about it. But good question.
Jut127 asks, if there was one bike in the 450 class James had to ride without touching a single clicker, whose bike would he pick?
Yeah. Whew. Jut, that was, yeah, I mean, I would probably go with the, yeah, I mean, it would probably be between the Yamaha and Honda. I think if I was like old JS, I'd probably go Honda just because, you know, it's a little bit stiff, but, or even the Kawasaki, to be honest with you. Kawasaki looks like it's a slower handling motorcycle, meaning that things just happen slower. And when you're going at that fast pace, like, you know, these guys, they want things to happen quickly, but only when they want it to happen quickly. So if a motorcycle can be slower handling, like you have more time to react to it, it's good. And I think the Kawasaki is really good at that. That's why it's always really good on tractions, track that doesn't have a lot of traction. So yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that one too much. The Honda, because it's Honda, and I think Jeff's bike is stiff. So the old JS, the one that likes to jump stuff, would like that. But then the Yamaha just looks like it works really good. And I'm looking at Eli. I would say some of the older guys, they look like they'd be having fun on that. It's really forgiving. So yeah, I don't know. I would probably pick the Beta. Yeah, that's in this, that confused parts. I just had to throw that out there. I don't know. They're all pretty damn good. Even the Suzuki's pretty damn good. So yeah, I guess I would pick anything. Anybody give me a ride out, that's the bike I'll be riding.
JB0714 says, Tomek has been off the bike for 9 months coming into this. That's a long time while other people are getting ahead in racing. Do you think if he stays and races Supercross next year and hit a couple nationals and is injured, he will be more competitive in battling for the title? I think he means to say, and isn't injured, he will be more competitive in battling for the title.
Yeah, JB, I definitely think that if he races next year, you know, he would be better off coming into the season than he was this year. Now, that also depends on if he races outdoors, because I think if he doesn't race outdoors, I think he would be in the same position he is this year. Whether he wins outdoors or whatever, I think if Eli wanted to actually race and compete for a Supercross championship, I think if he does not race outdoors, he would end up having to race like to get ready, I would say Eli would have to race the last four outdoors, then the XMS playoffs, and then move into the Supercross season. That would get him ready for next year. Because if he doesn't race outdoors, and even if he just goes into playoffs, like, they're so different, it would almost feel like he's racing the kind of US Open style of Monster Cup, like an off-season race. And yeah, those help, but they help for just being on the line with other people. The outdoors actually help you, like, just with the reactions and the racing side of things. So for me, I would see Eli racing part of the outdoors at the end of the outdoors if he doesn't race the whole thing, and going into the playoffs, that would tell me whether he's, like, for next year. So if he does that, then for sure. If he doesn't do that, then yeah, I think he'll be in a better place as far as just feeling better. There won't be any more questions, but I don't think he would be really a serious title threat unless he gets to that outdoors. There's something about racing outdoors that allows you to compete for championships. It's kind of weird to say, but he would need to do that.
Okay. This is in response to Deegan in a post-race interview says that he's not going to be nice in these last two rounds. So Trippy Rider 97 asks, does Deegan take out a out for the points lead if he has a chance?
Well, hey, Deegan. Yeah, man. See, my people, y'all be up on it. Y'all know what time it is. Yeah, Hayden Deegan said he ain't going to be nice. Well, I didn't really think he was nice anyway. So as I said, he'd be more like himself. I mean, come on, people. Like, he took out Cody Schott for, like, what, seventh? So who do you think he's going to take out for a championship? So I think it'd be a fool's mistake to think that he would be nice, not do anything for a championship. It'd be unlike Hayden if he rode that way. If he was nice, it'd be, like, unlike him. So, yeah. Who did he take out for fifth, sixth place? Yeah. You think he'll do something? Now, again, I think for a championship, anything goes at this point. I mean, all the questionable decisions, even to the point where Barcia, like, running into Jet Lawrence. If that was for a title, I'd be like, damn, dog, I don't know if I would do that. But, I mean, maybe I would if I was in that position. Anything goes. So I still think Hayden is in a class of his own. You know, I think for him, he needs to worry about winning the race. But, you know, Tom Vialida in the inside open, ask Cody Schott how that end up. I'd be shocked if he doesn't take it.
Dan asks, do you think Eli really believes he can run with Jet after getting gapped so quickly, especially since he keeps getting caught and passed by Jet in the last few races?
Yeah, Dan, another great question. Yeah, I do actually think Eli feels like he can run with Jet. And the reason I say that is because actually Eli was faster than Jet this weekend. And so it really doesn't matter what we think happened. I feel like I know what happened. And I explained that in the show a little bit how, you know, Eli this weekend when he gets caught by him, I don't think that had anything to do with, like, you know, a speed thing. I think Jet in the championship, Eli's really not. So to take that risk to get knocked out, maybe he doesn't do that. But the proof is there. Eli was going fast and Eli was the fastest. And so he knows he has the speed to run with. That's why I go back to the previous question. One of the earlier ones who said for championship wise, he would need to race outdoors and get that racing, that long-term thing to be in for a championship. But yeah, I do think Eli feels like he can beat Jet. And I don't think this weekend does anything to hurt that at all. Actually, it might help it. All right, people. Well, thank you for the questions. They were great as always. Some really good ones. They always be pretty good. But hey, you know what time it is. My second favorite time. My favorite time, which is what we did. Your favorite time. Stews and stews. So first, we have to get into it like we always do. Stew. Person that's better than everybody else. Person that might not be better than everybody else, but ends up better than everybody else because they end up on the ground or not on the ground. And all you have to do is worry about not just winning. You just have to worry about getting the neck firm because everything else will take care of itself. And to me, when you do that, you will obviously end up with a stew. And that's what you get on this list. So the first person, switching it up, people, I'm going RJ. Yes, RJ. Now, RJ, you a stew. Yeah, you won, and you won before. And this weekend was an important race, and you went out there and you laid wood and you were fast in practice, like quite a bit faster. You were down in the 50s. I don't know if anybody else was close to the 50s, the 51s, 50 flats, but whatever. You were a lot faster. And RJ said he needed to show Dade City proud. And he came out and he gave those boys a business, but it wasn't like RJ. And I gave RJ a stew before because it was on RJ like, no mistakes, nothing else. Everybody else was making mistakes. So for you, because you were on RJ Light, which was making you a lot better than everybody else, when everybody else is worried about it and they hitting it, teammates taking out each other, you go out and do your thing. And to me, that's a stew. Why? Because you just won and you just RJ-ish not, and you were dominant. And now you got the red plate. So let's see what RJ does. Make sure he doesn't do no RJ like stuff. And I think he will. And my next person, Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence, yes, you needed to win this weekend. So that's not surprising. And I felt like you were going to win this weekend. So you don't get a stew for that because, I mean, yeah, you technically could get a stew, but we don't give out default stews. And I feel like my stew's got to be more than just winning a race kind of stew because you win a lot of races. So otherwise you'd be stewed for nothing. But yes, you a stew, but I expect you to win. So that's not stew-ish kind of stuff. Wait, hold up. That is stew-ish kind of stuff, though. You go, just listen. It'll get there. It'll get there. Just give me time. So yes, you're supposed to win. So I'm not, that's not impressive to me because I thought you were going to do that. But to me, you were stew because you had everybody kind of confused. You had everybody confused. You saw Eli, he was out there jumping like rap, rap, rap. He was doing his thing. And then Ken Roczen, you were like, all right, he's going to blow up. He's going to blow up. You didn't really think that Shock was going to blow up like that. You were like, I'm just going to come. And he saw Cooper Webb, all this stuff. He up here talking about he's jacking off and all this stuff. And he's like, I'm just chilling. Get on the podium. Just like, I'm fast. I know I'm fast. And then you almost crashed in that rhythm section, but you like saved it. But you got everybody confused because they were like, damn, dude, you saw how much better he was than everybody else. Like, oh my gosh. Wait, hold up. He wasn't even fastest. And to me, that's a stew because just like the Ninja Light, you were going to win the race. And yeah, you were faster than everybody, but you wasn't faster than everybody. But you was able to make everybody believe that you were way better than everybody else, which ultimately at the end of the day, you pulled the lead out and you were way better than everybody else. But you did that in a way that didn't take up a lot of energy and you did it pretty easy. And then you get on a podium and look like you didn't win, but you dominate. And that's when you should be like you were, like cool, calm, collected, because this is what you expect. Because you had to know this was business-like, means business decision. And they know when it's business time, they're going to get the business. And that's what you did. That, to me, is a stew. So, Jet Lawrence, you a stew. Not for winning, but a way you made everybody else feel like you were way better. Well, I'm not going to say way better than what you are because you're pretty damn good. But you got them confused on how it is. So, you a stew. Now, my next list is stew. Pissed off. Pissed off because your throttle might have stuck and you hit a rock and it broke. Or pissed off because, I don't know, like it could have went the other way. Maybe you went, and you hit like Doug Henry. You was like, whoa, Chase Sexton. Now, you hit the ground, bro. You hit the ground. I know you pissed off. And I'm going stewed this weekend because I know you were pissed off. But then you were kind of like confused because, like, well, maybe we were confused because I was like, man, he looped out. And before people say anything, like, look, it's a possibility that he just looped out. Like, he looped out at Doug Henry. Like, sometimes you go in there, and these bikes, they got quick throttles. They got quick throttles. And, Chase kind of slid out coming out of the corner. He was leaning back. And then he's like, I'm going to hit this jump, but I'm not going to double it like those guys doing. So he went in, and he was, like, charging because he saw the dude in front of him, but the dude wasn't close enough. And he was like, and he jumped out. And then he was like, oh, my gosh, I'm about to die. And then he came up short on the thing. He's like, ooh, I didn't die there, but then I almost died in the corner. So you were, like, confused because you were like, wait, did the bike just – all of a sudden, like, go automatic? Do I got cruise control on this thing? Or did I really loop out? Or did something just happen to something and it just took off? Well, you were confused, but then you were pissed off because you were like, wait, no matter what happened, my throttle stuck. Now, I don't know if it was because my hand stuck and I hit it, but I'm pissed off because, one, every time I try to ride, this bike be trying to make me like throw off. Every time I be trying to go fast, it be throwing me off. Then all of a sudden, they want to go fast when they don't need to go fast. And so you're like confused and pissed off. Then you said to your mechanic, you're like, and he was like, huh? Like, I don't know what that is. And then you found out things were cracked and all that stuff. So Chase Sexton, you pissed off just because you don't know what happened, but you probably knew what happened. The thing took off and you went backwards and you came up short and you were like, I lived and I didn't. And then you got off, but hopefully you all right. So you pissed off because you ain't have no visor again. And that's usually what happens. Eight ball. So nonetheless, you okay, but you mad. And then your mechanic was like, hey, It's like, I've been trying to get you to get on the gas all year long. Now you want to get on it when you should be getting off the gas? Are you like pissed off? You like, nah, don't blame me, but blame me. I didn't build a part. I didn't shoot the rock. You should have got the whole shot. You wouldn't have to worry about the rock. Don't be blaming me, because you know how it is. Like, you blame the bike, and the bike be like, look, can't blame me. I be trying to go as hard as I can, and sometimes I be going hard, I break. And then your mechanic be like, hey, you shouldn't have been back there. You shouldn't have been worried about getting hit by a rock. If you get better starts, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Then you tell the engineer guy, well, if you fix the engine right and I could get better starts, then I wouldn't have to worry about getting the rock shot behind me. And then you tell the guys who built the part, it'd be like, if you built the part that can survive the rocks, then it wouldn't be my fault. So it's his fault. It's the guy in this assembly line. And then it's the stuff that's made out of the stuff fault. It's everybody else's fault, but nobody's fault. And so everybody's like, damn, I'm pissed off, confused, and pissed and stewed, but nobody else's fault. It's only the person's fault that shot the rock. It was the guy in front of you. Who was in front of him, Cole? Yeah, see, he don't even know, because it was like, it don't even matter, because we don't even know. It is one of those situations. I'll just say it's Dirtwork's fault, because they built the track and they put the rocks there, and there shouldn't have been no rocks there. And unfortunately, it was a rock there. Who put the split lane down to start? Who didn't put the start like the double and the triple? It was a triple, but it was a double. So it was the people who built the whoops. It was the people's dozers fool. Like, it was their fault. It was the KTM Viewing Challenge fault, because the way they roll, the kid kicked out the rock and the rock flew. Yeah. Chase, glad you're all right. But that was it. I don't know what that list was, but it was that list. So people, nonetheless, on a serious note, we saw RJ inherit the points lead. Levi get his kitchen dirty, and Smackadoo ran into somebody else and then smacked his boo. And then he pulled out the track, which was shocking, because that dude is built just crazy tough. And then we saw Jet Lawrence do what we kind of thought he was going to do, was business like. But next weekend, we're going to the Philly Cheesesteak, place we haven't been before. I ain't never been to Philadelphia, but I will be after this weekend. Will your boy be there? So hopefully we'll get to call some action, and hopefully it all make a little bit sense. And hopefully we'll have a season like we have been. And it ain't over yet, people. So that was from round 14, where we did see the Cowboy, but we saw the Cowboy had his boots tighten up and he was sitting back talking about everybody else. And we saw some people flying like a cowboy, like German chocolate. And hopefully he'll be back up in Philly Cheesesteak 11. But we're going to have to get back to see if Cooper Webb can get back on the web wagon. If not, it's going to be a Jet long season. Until then, I'll see you in Philly next time. All right, I got to go. I need a Philly cheesesteak for sure. I ain't tripping this time.